You know, I've been studying on the subject of wisdom all week. And that was one of the things, the first thing that Brother Keith mentioned in his prayer is wisdom. And I've never really been able to just grab a hold of this subject because it's very elusive in my mind, because you think you got something figured out, and it's just about like any subject that I try to study, is that it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Realizing the magnificence of this, I ask your prayers this morning that the Lord would bless us. And I don't really even know where to start, but I got to start somewhere. So we'll try to start in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, I hope you, some of you anyway, remember the message I tried to speak the last time I was here out of the book of Titus about the how that God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us wisdom and righteousness, and all of these different things that the Lord has given us to know is all being taught to us by the Holy Spirit. So this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find the Apostle Paul teaching this church about the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our minds and our thoughts should not be centered upon the things of this world, but on the things of God. And there were some of these people in this church that were actually worshiping first this and first that, and they had all kinds of problems. But one of the problems that Paul addresses here is that they said they had kind of divided themselves up into little groups, saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this one, and I'm of that one." But he said, and he asked this question, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? And some say, well, I was baptized by this one, and I was baptized by that one, and I am a follower of this one. Well, the point here that Paul is making is that we're all one in Christ, and that we all should have only one focus in our minds, and that's the Lord. And the apostle begins this, and oh, by the way, the word wisdom is in the first chapter. If you want to check it out, in the first chapter that we find the word wisdom 7 times, and in the second chapter we find the word wisdom 7 times. Isn't that amazing? And I actually did all of this calculating and looking up in my, hope if my concordance is right, the word wisdom is found in the New Testament 53 times. Well, isn't that wonderful? But when you, and then when you think about the entire Bible, it's 222 times, according to my concordance that I looked it up in. So it would give you some kind of indication that this is an important subject that we ought to think about. But what is it? That's the whole key. What does it mean? And now notice, and I'm going to read a little bit to you. It says, the Apostle Paul says, I baptized also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, the Apostle Paul, in this chapter, he says, my preaching is not by my wisdom or man's wisdom or the things that I've learned and all the things that I have. He said, all the things that I learned before I was converted to Christ, he said, all those things just kind of fall by the wayside. And now then, he said, I'm focusing upon those things which God has revealed to me. And he says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. If I was going to try to give you a definite or the opposite of what wisdom is, it's foolishness. Foolishness is, you know, over in Psalm chapter 1, No, Psalms 14, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you don't believe in God, then you're a fool, according to Paul's calculation or in the scriptures. And I ask you this morning, just continue to pray. This is a subject very, very elusive to me. Now notice, and we read on down, it says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom. Notice it. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. If there is there anything in this world that is more wiser than God? That's the question. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And when he's talking about the wisdom of the wise, Brother Keith, he's talking about those people in the learned and in the higher education places. These men that think that they know something when they really don't. And that's what the apostle says. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing. Nothing is zero. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? And that's a question. Where is the wise man? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Where is, it says, hath not God, now notice this, he has absolutely disannulled the wisdom of this world. Notice, and he says, I will bring to nothing, I missed my place. He said, where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? What does that mean to you when God makes, he's made foolish something that is of the world? He is absolutely, he's counted the wisdom of this world as foolishness. Now that seems so contrary to our, and that is certainly not PC. I mean, for us to think about, I mean, that we do not ever want to talk about anything negative. But the apostle Paul is saying here that the wisdom that's in the world, I don't think Paul was downing education, but he was simply telling you that by the word, the wisdom of this world and the teachings of man, you cannot come to the wisdom of God. Amen. That's the point. And he goes on, he says, for the Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They are always trying to find out some new thing and think about something that's never been talked about before and something that nobody's ever known before. They're always seeking something else. But it says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. What we're preaching to you is a stumbling block to the Jews. I mean, they trip over it. And it says, unto the Greeks, What we're teaching here is foolishness. See, they have counted what we're teaching foolish. But God says what you're teaching is foolish. Now, which one is right? I mean, which one do you think that we ought to see, to look to? It said, because the foolishness of God. Now, I want us to think about this for a minute. The foolishness of God. There is no foolishness with God. God is, when you talk about foolishness, that means no wisdom. That's what foolishness, foolishness is without wisdom. When I tell you that when it says a man is a fool, that's really not a derogatory term. It's simply meaning he doesn't have any knowledge. When somebody says there is no God, the man is without wisdom. And so when you look at this in the standpoint of where we're at, because the foolishness of God, that which they consider to be foolishness, that which they consider foolishness. It says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Think about this with me. Listen to the words. The weakness of God. Huh? See what Paul here is addressing, the foolishness of God and the weakness of God. Is there any foolishness with God? Is there any weakness with God? But you see, that's what they think. That's what the wisdom of the world will teach you. That this is just mythology. There's nothing to it. It's just something that people have made up. You people are so deceived in believing such terrible, it's just awful that you believe. I mean, you have been brainwashed to think that there is something outside of this world that could control me. I'm my own man. I can do what I want. And so this is the wisdom of the world. Now notice it says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men in the world, not many wise men in their own minds, not many wise men that have been taught in the higher educational world and think they know everything that there is to know, and that they would, I mean, Brother Keith, you know what I'm talking about. There's people that would, that just, I mean, if you don't have all these things behind your name, I mean, we're talking about what about IQs? I mean, how does a man with a very high IQ, where does that enter into this picture? Doesn't mean anything. A person that is, and I've seen this, and I observed this just yesterday. All of us know little Bianca. She is a very simple person. But that young lady, she has no education at all. I guess she can write her name. But she has wisdom that the professors in the higher educational classes that teach evolution and teach all of these various things of the world, she has more wisdom than them. You know why? Because she believes in a God of creation. And that's where we're going to get to in a little bit. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Now, think about that. God is the foolish things of the world. He's chosen the things that they consider to be of no value at all. These things that they consider absolutely worthless. The mean things, the people, I mean, the old ignorant farmers and these people that don't have any education and all they do is work day in and day out and just make, but you know, they say their prayers every day. God had chosen this kind of person to confound the wise man. I'm telling you, this is, I mean, when you think about how awesome this is, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world. The weak things of the world. Little children. People that cannot even do anything for themselves. The weak things, the poor of the world. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Things which are mighty in the eyes of the world. God hath made them foolishness. Isn't that, does that blow your mind? I mean, that this is so, and it says the base things of the world. That's the things that are down here, way down low. The things that are low, the base things of the world, which are despised by the world. The base things of the world, the things that are low, the things that, they're just so insignificant to man that they would not, I mean, these wise people would not even want to even mention you. They would not even speak to you. They would not even give you the time of day. God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things which are. Why did he do that? Why does he do that? Why is it that we can't teach somebody by our intellect and our knowledge? Why can't I speak? I mean, it seems to me like I ought to be able to teach somebody that don't believe in God to believe in God. But you know what he says here? He says, he did all of this. There's a reason God did this. And the reason he did it, he says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Is there going to be any glory in this thing? It's not going to be from man. It's going to be God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glory, let him glory in the Lord. And so that God did all of these things. He's confused the wise, and he made the base things of the world to confound the mighty. Why? Because he gets the glory. Now, this is just barely scratching the surface, Brother Keith. I mean, what does all this mean? And he goes down. Now, notice in verse 4 of the second chapter, he says, My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It wasn't. But my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You see, I can't add the power to my preaching. I can't preach to you about the things that I think I'm smart about. I must teach to you what the Word says. That's all I got. You see? And that's where, if I preach anything that's not according to thus saith the Lord, then it's man's wisdom. Period. And that's why he says that, and why they do that? Notice what he says. I'm doing that for a purpose. And this is it, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. I don't want your faith to be in a man. I don't want your faith to be in somebody that can teach you some kind of philosophy, that is not according to my word. Your faith is to be in him, not in, it's to be in him, not in him. Amen. In him, not in him. You see? Your faith is not in man. And it says, howbeit we speak, now notice this, we speak the wisdom among them which are perfect. In what way are we? I mean, by the way, he's speaking to the perfect. You're perfect. From the standpoint that you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been, there is nothing that can condemn you. Because you have been made, and the word means complete, those who have full knowledge of these things. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you have wisdom in some sense. Now, I'm going to get a little bit more deeper in that in a minute. But it says, even the hidden wisdom, things which only God knows. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them, he has revealed them unto us. The word reveal means he's made them known. Things that the elite, the religious elite especially, the things that people think they know by their own wisdom, God hath revealed unto us the truth of the matter. It says this. He has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things is not. Right, now this is a question. Now notice the question. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? What man has you? I mean, there is a spirit in man, and there's things that I can teach about the things of the world. I mean, I love science, but you know, really, the only true science is creationism. Really, from the standpoint of God, is the word science, as the dear brother will tell us, is the study of knowledge. Is it? Will that fit? See, science is the study of knowledge. It's the study of things. And these Greeks, they're always wanting to know, more and more. That's kind of honorable. But brethren and sisters, you've got to understand, unless you understand and see that all wisdom comes down from God. That's true. You don't have any wisdom at all. Now this is what he's saying here. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so, listen to this carefully. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are given to us freely of God, which things we speak, and here we go again, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we're talking here about something that is spiritual, something that comes from God. Now, I'm going to leave this for a minute, and I want to go, you know, how many of us remember Solomon? Remember Solomon? Solomon was a man that God gave more wisdom than any man on earth. Because he was, first of all, he had asked for all that he had asked. He didn't ask for wisdom, but God gave him wisdom. But see, that wisdom that God gave him caused him problems. I mean, read Ecclesiastes. He said, wisdom, when you got all this wisdom, you don't know what to do with it. He says, I tried this and I tried that and I tried all the things of man. And what was his conclusion? You know what he said? It's all vanity. Vanity, vanity, says the preacher. Now then, I want to turn over to the Proverbs. Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs. If we wanted to read something that is about wisdom, this is the words of wisdom. That's what the proverb, and you could read one proverb every day. And if you did that, you would gain wisdom. Now notice what I mean. And by the way, Brother Keith, I mentioned to you over there that there, and you checked me out on this, there, the word wisdom is in the New Testament how many times?
About 53.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how many times is the word wisdom in Proverbs? 53. Now, isn't that amazing? Here is 31 chapters where there is the wisdom of God is being taught. And what a marvelous thing it is to how concentrated is this book. When you can think that he mentions here wisdom 53 times in 31 chapters and in 27 books in the New Testament, 39 in the Old and 27, and he mentions that 53 times only in all those 27 books. You know what James said about this? Would you like to have wisdom? Ask God. That is what he said. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you don't understand, and I'm going to get into the beauty of this, and hopefully the Lord will bless me to speak just a little bit about what Proverbs is about. Now notice, I'm going to read a little bit for you. I'm going to read the first 8 verses of this. So if you have your scriptures, follow me. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to whom wisdom and instruction, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. Now, if I teach you all day long about a certain concept, and I can teach you this and I can teach you that, and you say, at the end, you just sit there and go, what did he say? You know, unless you understand what I'm talking about, it's not going to do you any good. It's just going in here and out over here. So he says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equality. To give subtlety, that's cunningness, to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A lot of good things in here. A wise man, listen, here's about a wise man. A wise man will hear. You know, another place it says, don't answer a question until you know the People that they're talking about, and I'm bad about this. You be talking and you're telling me something, Brother Keith, and I'm not really listening to what Jim's saying. I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say after you get through. And when I don't listen, you see, listening is a gift. It's an art. It's very hard for you to listen to me. You know, that's why old Brother Ed Kirkpatrick says, now I want your undivided attention. Now, that's kind of hard to get, is undivided. I mean, want you to focus exactly right on here and don't think about the outside, don't think about nothing, just think about what I'm telling you. That's undivided. But sometimes that doesn't really work. But it says the wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb. Now this is basically what we would like to be able to do when we read the scriptures, to be able to understand the meaning of the thing. To understand a proverb and the interpretation. You say, well, that's really great. You know, we got all the people in the over in the New Testament, we go through this on Wednesday nights, we have all these parables that Jesus taught. And we say, well, what does that mean? Well, if we don't understand something, especially in the Bible, you say, I don't understand that. Well, and then we just close the book. And we say, well, it's too deep for me. And we give up. But you say, if we don't understand something, and we don't believe, and if we don't understand what's going on here, what does the scripture say? Ask God. You see, you're not going to get this by the teaching. Now, God, sometimes he gives ministers knowledge, and sometimes he gives the ministers are able to teach you, but the real knowledge that we're talking about here comes down from God. He says the interpretation of the words of the wise and dark sayings. You know, I remember back years and years ago when I was bringing up these old preachers. I mean, and I mean no disrespect. They preach on types and shadows. Types and shadows. Well, you'd see something over here. Now that's a type of this and this and this. And I could see where they was coming from, but for the life of me, I could read over there and I couldn't figure out what in the world. I said, now what's that a type of? Sometimes we just have to read the Word of God and say, that's what it says and that's what it means. And quit trying to figure out some dark thing out of it. But anyway, it said, now listen, the fear of the Lord. This is where I wanted to, I probably should have started here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now that is totally in harmony with what Paul was saying. He says the fool, now that means somebody that does not believe this. Somebody that believes, like the fool said, there's no God. Now there are thousands of, and you know, I used to be so naive to believe that I've never really met a person, and I don't really know anybody that is not a child of God. But you know, the more I think about it, and the more I look, I believe there are some out there that are just total idiots. You know what I mean? They have no knowledge of what God is all about. And the way that they act and the way they conduct their lives, they prove me right time and time again. You know, now notice it says, my son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. There's a group of a new generation today that they totally disrespect all authority. All authority. They sure don't want to listen to mom and daddy and dumb old fogies. I mean, you know, it's amazing how smart parents get as the children get older. Isn't it? It is. Now, but the commandment is honor your father and your mother. And this, he said, this is the first commandment with promise. He said, what's the promise? You're going to have a good life. You're going to have a longer life in this world if you'll honor your mother and your father and listen to what they tell you. Now, this is what, now, There's more in these than I could possibly ever cover. But notice that I'm gonna skip over now to the second chapter of Proverbs. I mean, we could just skip right along, and it'd take me to read all 53 places in this book for you to find all the places where wisdom would take us another hour. And you don't want to sit here that long. But notice this in chapter 2. My son, in verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, I want to know more and more and more. And lifteth up thy voice for understanding. You see, these, Brother Keith, these are all just so intricately tied together. You cannot know, you say, well, I know all about that. Well, explain it to me. You know, this is the best way in the world to find out how somebody, you say, well, I believe that. And I said, okay, well, how about you should explain that to me, would you? And if you say, well, I know what I believe, but I can't explain it. Have you heard anybody say that? I know what I believe, but I just can't explain it. Well, you ought to be able to explain it. And the only way you're going to explain it is to get deep down into the Word and pray over it. Pray over the Word. Ask God. Say, God, I don't understand that. But notice it says, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice to understanding, if you seek these things, seeketh her as silver. What if you sought to know more about God and know wisdom and understanding as much as you would like to win the lottery? As much as you would like to know more about the things out there in the world. He says, if you would seek those things like that, he said, the treasure of wisdom is hidden. Then shalt thou understand the fear of God and find knowledge of God. If you seek it, you find it. That Jesus said that. He said, seek it, you find. And if you don't seek it, you're not going to find it. You know, that's just simple, isn't it? But do you want to know more about God? You're not going to know more about God by listening to the telegarbage. You're not going to know more about God and by listening to the things out there in the world. You're going to know about God by studying His Word. That's all you're going to, I mean, that's it. That's it. Do you read God's Word every day? I mean, here is a lesson. You could read one proverb every day. And just when you get through it, read them over again. I have read Proverbs through and through, and it amazes me, Brother Keith, how much more I learn every single time I read it again. Notice he said, for the Lord, I wish we would learn this. If you don't get anything else from what I say, listen to this verse. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Isn't this marvelous reading? Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equality, yea, and every good path. Wow. Now, Job, I don't want to, I got to get over to Job for a little bit. Now, Job had this problem, same as we do. You need wisdom. Well, where is it? Where is it? How can I get it? Where is it? How can I find wisdom? Now, this is Job 28. Turn with me if you're there, if you want to. He said, in verse 12, he says, but where shall wisdom be found? Good question, isn't it? Well, I can go to college and get more wisdom. Now, yeah, you can get smart. But where does wisdom come? And you know, I've tried to define wisdom, and it is very elusive, because when you talk about the wisdom of God, you're talking about God Himself. And the only way that we as God's people can have any kind of spiritual wisdom is that it comes down from Him. It doesn't go up, it comes down. God is the author of these things. But where shall we find wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? You say, I learned that the other day. Well, I want to know really if you learned it. If you can explain it to me, then you learned it. Brother Keith, you know that. And you teach that in your classes. You say, well, I know that. Okay. Do you have it in your head or do you have it in your heart? I could make A's on history. All this, I could make A's on my classes by cramming and studying and memorizing. But where is it? How has it benefited me? You see, if I'm not able to apply the things that I've learned, they're worthless. They're nothing. It doesn't do you any good to go to college or engineering school or whatever if you can't apply. And that's what I work right along beside. And when I was at Tinker, I don't have an engineering degree, but I was working right along beside them people that had the plaques and all that stuff, right along beside them people. And these young engineers, they come right out of college, they don't know squawk. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, to put them out there and try to tell them how to work or how to read the manuals and so forth and how to apply these things, they don't have any idea. They have to learn it. Now notice, Job here. Man knoweth not the price of wisdom and understanding, neither is it found in the land of the living. Where is it found? Job, Job was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of God. He said he was a wise man. But here is the wise man asking these questions. The depth saith, it's not in me. I mean, did everybody ever try to just think about all the magnificence of the oceans? And I mean, I love to watch Jacques Cousteau, and that's what he said. Of all of these things that's down there, but is wisdom down there? Knowledge may be down there, but notice, Job said it's not down there. It's not in the depths of the sea. And the sea said, "It's not with me. I don't have it, and it cannot be gotten for gold." If I could go out here if you could just treasure up all your whole life savings and go buy you some wisdom. That's ridiculous, isn't it? It is. But this is what Job is saying. It cannot be gotten with gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price of it. It cannot be valued with gold or ophir, with precious onyx or sapphire. The gold of the crystal cannot equal it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. Now, brothers and sisters, if this, what we're looking for and we're talking about is so valuable, why would not we want to seek more and more and more about it? No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. It's more valuable than all the silver and the gold and rubies. It's greater than that. Whence cometh wisdom? That's verse 20. Whence cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? He just kept asking these questions. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. You know, this is what Paul was talking about. He said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You cannot figure out God. You cannot know anything about God by studying in the ways of man. You can't. Destruction and death say, we have heard of the fame thereof with our ears. We've heard about it. But understanding the way thereof, he knoweth not the place. He looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds and the way the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. We're talking now about the things that of wisdom that God gives. Can you understand why that? I mean, it rains and rains and rains and rains and rains, and all the waters of the rivers keep running down. They all going down to the ocean. You think, I mean, have you ever been to Niagara Falls? I mean, there's thousands and thousands of gallons of water flowing out of there for every minute. Seconds. It all flows down into the ocean. Why don't the ocean run over? This is what he's talking about here. He said, you don't understand half of that. You don't understand any of that. Well, when he maketh a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning and the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and he searched it out. And unto man, here it is, unto man, he said this, behold, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Okay, when I was in algebra, you remember algebra? A equals B. A equals B and B equals C. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Now, does that make, I mean, in other words, the things that are equal to each other are equal. All right, now he's saying this. He says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. So the fear of the Lord equals wisdom. And understanding equals departing from evil. So when we think about all of these different things that's together here, when we think about all the wonderful things that he has said here, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Now, that's great, but what's the fear of the Lord? Now we got another puzzle. What does that mean, the fear of the Lord? Does that mean phobia? Does that mean, I'm afraid of God? Let me ask you this question. Is the fear of God contrary to the love of God? I mean, it's easier for us to tell you, it's easier for me to tell you to love God than rather to fear God. But the word fear in these places, and I'm running out of time very quickly, but I want to turn over back over to the book of Psalms real quickly. It's amazing, Brother Keith, how these things just keep snowballing and snowballing. Before long, you figure out, I don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about this stuff. But fear, the fear that we're talking about is not being afraid of God. Like, he's going to send if I don't do this and this and this, he's going to send a lightning bolt down on me. You see, that's a fear that is not taught in the Bible. God is a loving God. He says, do you love God? What does he say? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. He said, if you fear me, depart from evil. Wisdom is the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Yes. The fear of God. What does that mean? And to depart from evil, if you really know God, and you have real wisdom, then you're going to shun evil. And that's what he says. And now notice, and this is one that's very familiar to us. In Psalms 111, he sent redemption unto his people. Now I want you to think about, do you believe that God the Father, first of all, do you believe that he created this universe?
Yes.
Then you have more wisdom than a lot of people in the so-called educational places. I'm not, Brother Keith, I hope you don't misunderstand me. I'm not putting down the higher education, but I'm just trying to simply tell these people that you can't learn about God by going to the institutions of the world. You've got to come to the house of God and read the Word of God and pray about these things, and then you get the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of the world. Now I said, do you believe that God sent his Son to bear your sins? Do you believe that? How did you come to believe that? You didn't believe that on your own. You just didn't all of a sudden one day start believing in God. You believe in God because he's given you his Spirit inside. That's why he said, the things of the man knoweth no man, but the things of God. He has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The revelation of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, is a marvelous thing. And if you believe it, then you have more wisdom than the men of the world. He sent redemption unto his people. He sent redemption. The word redemption means that he bought you. He paid for you. He shed his blood for you. Everything that you have is a gift from God. Do you understand that? That you don't have anything of any value. There's nothing in this world that's of any value if you discount God. It's just nothing. And that's wisdom. If you can understand that everything that I have, and I hope, Brother Keith, that I've taught my children this, that if you have anything of any value at all, it's a gift from God. He said, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. In him was no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And for you to understand and know that is wisdom. Now, he sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant. A covenant. Do you believe that there was a God that was in the universe before he ever created the world? Do you believe that? That he was there? That God didn't all of a sudden just start being God. He's there all the time. If you believe that, you got wisdom. Now notice, this is the definition of the fear of God. I read this to get here. Holy and reverend is his name. That's what the word fear, the fear of God is to recognize that he is holy. And the fear of God is having a respect for him. Having an honor for him. And being and having your lives saturated with him. That's what the fear of God is. He said, the fear of God. Now notice the very next word, the very next verse comes right into our subject. Reverence. That's what fear is. Reverence of God. Honoring him and giving him glory. That's why the Apostle Paul said all those things over there. Why did he do all that? Why did he confound the wisdom of the world? That no man should glory in his presence. God will not, he is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with any man. Therefore, if you're going to know anything about God, it's going to come from him. He did that on purpose, by the way. That's no accident. He did that on purpose. Now notice this next verse, dear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's amazing how much a child can learn in the first year. To have a little child, my granddaughter's 4 years old, and she can say her ABCs, all the way, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and all the way, and she can count to 100. Though she has beginnings of these things. But I'm telling you, if a person, I know that there are people that do this, Brother Keith, that graduate from high school or someplace and cannot even read. That is an absolute shame. They have not been taught the very first things of what God is. I mean, of what their knowledge is. But everything that they learn in the first grade, kindergarten and on up, that's the foundational. That's the foundation of all of their life. It's important that they know how to read and to add and subtract and do all these things. That's the primary things. Well, the primary things of wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, the ABCs of wisdom, is to fear God. Have a reverential love for him. You see, the word fear and the word love in the context of these, to fear God, is not opposite to loving God. It's the same. Fearing God and loving God, one is showing a reverential respect for him. When God says something in his word, we ought to take heed to it. Don't discredit it and say, well, I don't, I know what it says, but I'm not, I just don't feel like to, I really prayed over this and I read this in the Bible, but I know what it says and I prayed over this and I just feel okay with doing this. You know what, Brother Keith, that's not wisdom, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. Because you cannot read God's word and then say, well, I don't, that don't really mean anything to me. But he says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do, listen to me, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. It's not a good understanding if you hear his commandments. The knowledge of all these things is one thing, but he says, to understand, and this is why Job said, the fear of God is, that's wisdom. And to depart from evil, that's understanding. To know God and then not to do what he says, it's foolish. If you know it. And that's why he says, now, notice, and this is, I'm going to close with these things. His praise endureth forever. Remember, it's a couple of, several months ago, I talked about praising God. Now, this next verse in Psalms 112, verse 1, you know what David's saying? He's saying, hallelujah. That's what this means. Praise ye the Lord. And right in my center reference, it says, praise ye the Lord means hallelujah. So he is saying here, because of all these things, he's saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But why is he saying that? Because blessed is the man. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. You fear God? You say, if you don't fear God, then you're a fool. Not saying that derogatory, just the facts. Because Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, he said, those that do not love God, those who are unregenerate, those that are not born to the Spirit of God, he says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. So if you fear God and you love God, that's an evidence that you're of God. And you have the capacity to keep on learning more and more and more about him. You say, we sing sometimes, more about Jesus would I know. More of his loving kindness and so forth. Well, the way we learn more about him is studying his word. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. I'm going to just have to close it because I'm not done. But I encourage you. I beseech you with all that I have in my heart to purpose in your heart to read a proverb every day. Will you do that? You say, well, I'll do that. Well, I promised to read the Bible through before too, but I only get about 3/4 way. But if you'll do that, it will enrich your lives. And when you're reading it, look for the word wisdom. Look for the word fear of God. And look for the word understanding. And it will just, it's amazing. I've read Proverbs, I don't know how many times. And this week, Brother Keith, it's just come alive more and more and more all the time because I have diligently, this subject today, I have not even started to talk to you about it. It is awesome. It is beyond me. But I would to God that you would seek him. Seek wisdom. Seek to understand. Seek to know more about him. And when he says something in his word, don't discredit that and say, well, that's for somebody else. That's for me. Fear God. You know, this is the conclusion. What did Solomon say? Remember? Ecclesiastes 12? He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The whole duty of man. Everything that you have. All of your duties and responsibilities. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's it. Isn't that marvelous? That's what he said the whole duty of man is. All of your duty, all of your responsibility is to fear God and keep his commandments. And if you do that, he said, a long life and happiness you'll have.